Good, let's call it late afternoon, and welcome here to this service in witness to the resurrection, in gratitude to God, and in celebration of the life of Gay Fox. If we have not met, I'm Steve Runholt, and I'm the pastor here. It is my sacred duty, my great privilege to welcome you here to this service. I know there are people from many point here tonight or this evening, this late afternoon, from many points on Gay's life journey, many chapters of her life story. So I'm very grateful for your presence here, and again, welcome you on behalf of the family. Let us now stand in body or in spirit for our call to worship. Eternal God, who brought us to birth and in whose presence we live and die, embrace and enfold us this day within your love. For you tell us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Help us to see that you are not distant but near, not far removed but close at hand. as I thought about what scriptures we might read here tonight for Gay's service, two passages came immediately to mind. The first is from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures from the prophet Micah. Listen for these words from the prophet. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And now from the New Testament, the gospel, the good news, according to Matthew, a famous, a well-known passage, essentially Jesus' own mission statement for him and for his followers in effect. So listen again to these words from the gospel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Boo, come and share some memories and remembrances of your mother with us.
Welcome, friends, family, and extended family. I know all of y'all remember my mother, Gay Curry Fox. A sister, a nurse, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother. As my family sat playing a game, we started to write words to describe her, but realized that the words we chose shortchanged the life that she truly lived. She touched the hearts and lives of so many people. Those that met her would agree that she had an uncanny ability to make each and every person feel special, loved, and accepted. She was open-minded, generous, and thoughtful. She was never judgmental and willing to listen with an open mind. What she believed in, she would attack it head on. Whether it was politics or improving the community, she would never take no for an answer. But how are we going to do it? She was a true yellow dog Democrat, hitting the streets, campaigning, on the phone, getting people to vote, and standing at the polls supporting her candidates. She was a visionary. Saw potential in the community to make it better for our youth by creating a recreation center and increasing the tourism for the beautification of Lake Tomahawk and Town Square. She loved the arts and helped create the Black Mountain Center for the Arts. She was adventurous, loving to try new things and traveling. Heck, I remember at the age of 90, she got on a Harley Davidson and rode around the parking lot. She was creative, remodeling houses and designing flower arrangements. She would open her house to strangers, friends, and family. She was the hostess with the mostest. That was my mother, ahead of her time. She paved the way for the community. She made every day count and live life to the fullest. And through this, we absorbed her compassion and celebration for life. Her legacy will live on in our hearts.
That it will. Thank you, Boo. For the record, and in case we have any theologians in the room who may be wondering about this beautiful, rather dazzling display of white that adorns our chancel today is in it's in celebration of Jesus and of Easter, not of Gay Fox, per se. Just want to put your mind at ease if you're worrying about that. But it does seem fitting that we would gather here in this sanctuary to celebrate the life of this extraordinary woman during this extraordinary season in the church year. We'll come back to that point in a moment. In the meantime, the one thing I have been wondering about is what could possibly have motivated God to call both Jane Hansel and Gay Fox home within 3 days of one another. The only conclusion I could come up with was that the heavenly wing of the Democratic Party must have needed a boost. Or perhaps heaven itself just needed to be reorganized from the ground up. In terms of Gay's portfolio of responsibilities in this scenario, perhaps a lovely old lake had grown worse for wear over the years and now needed to be rehabilitated that it might become a beautiful showpiece, a lovely gathering place for the heavenly community. Or perhaps the heavenly administration had outgrown its main headquarters down there in the town square, as it were, and the building where they once met now needed to be redeveloped, that it might be put to good use again, perhaps as a gallery space where all kinds of arts could be made and taught and showcased and celebrated. Fair bit of talent at the ready for that. Or maybe heaven's own political and social action team needed a new leader, a chairwoman who could help revitalize the committee, someone who could re-energize the team and refocus the social justice work and take their overall efforts in a new direction for, say, the next 10,000 years. Or maybe along heaven's streets of gold, there was a building dedicated to housing orphans, and maybe that building needed to be upgraded, that the whole program might be made hospitable, more hospitable and welcoming to children who'd lost their parents. Now, obviously, this is all just playful speculation intended to highlight Gay's contributions, but we don't know exactly what Gay is up to now that she has crossed over into the eternal realm, though it's a safe bet she's already very busy sprucing up the place. What we do know for sure is how much Gay Fox changed this realm. Of course, over the course of her long and extraordinary life, Gay changed every part of the world with which she came into contact, whether that was, in fact, an orphanage in Tehran, or the layout of the town of Black Mountain, or the priorities and strategies of the Democratic Party here in Western North Carolina, or the session in the congregation of the Warren Wilson Presbyterian Church right here. When I first began as the pastor here, I obviously did not know how mighty this small woman was, the Presbyterian Yoda. And thought she could lift me up with her mind. I was unaware of the full scope of her extraordinary life. I did not know that she was born at that time. I did not know that she was born in China to missionary parents, or that while in China, she would share a childhood friendship with Ruth Bell, or that this friendship would last, would bloom and flower and last for her lifetime long after Ruth Bell married Billy Graham. I was unaware of the huge adventures she shared with her beloved husband, Joe, and I did not yet appreciate the depth of her love for her family, her love for her community, her love for her country, her love for her preferred, yes, her preferred political party, and her love for her church, this church, and the larger church, too. Early on, all I really knew is that Gay Fox was unfailingly pleasant and kind to me and to everyone around her, with a sweet smile always at the ready in her eyes and on her lips. But all of that changed one Sunday over Labor Day weekend when I preached a sermon about vocation, about the work God calls us to do. 2 days later, Gay marched into my office and told me that she felt like it was again time for her to serve on session and that I was the one to blame for this decision. What made it so funny is that she admitted she didn't really want to do this, but after that sermon, she felt like she had no choice. God was again calling her to help lead this church. And Gay Fox being Gay Fox, she had no choice but to answer that call. And even though she was already getting up in years at that point, that's exactly what Gay did. She answered that call, and she did, in fact, help lead this church through renovations and improvements and changes and programs and initiatives that we continue to benefit from right to the present moment, including these lights. So starting that day, I did come to know Gay well over the subsequent years. As I was reflecting on the full scope of her life, it occurred to me that if she had been born just a decade or so later, when women were just that much more able to pursue their callings, there's no telling the heights to which she might have risen. With her international background, her lifelong commitment to public service, and her leadership skills, it's not impossible to imagine that Gay might have preceded other strong, capable women like Madeleine Albright, Condoleezza Rice, Hillary Clinton, in rising to national level political leadership. This exercise of thinking what might have happened if Gay had been born even a few years later, well, that in turn made me start to imagine what it might have been like if she had been born some years earlier, like several thousand years earlier. I can imagine that Gay Fox might have joined Miriam and Deborah and Esther as one of the great female prophets in the history of Israel. For this diminutive woman not only believed the core message of the prophets, that the Lord requires us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God, she also possessed exactly the right skill set to give voice to that message publicly. Her life was built around an unshakable faith in the Creator God, the God above all human rulers. This faith was coupled then with an unflinching willingness, and I know some of you saw this on display, an unflinching willingness to speak truth to power, to call out earthly leaders, even whole communities, when they strayed from serving the interests of the people or the interests of the country, and began instead to serve their own interests. Gay would not tolerate that. Now, fast forward just a bit. If Gay had been born a few centuries after the era of the prophets, I can imagine that she would have surely been among those few women whom we know to be followers, to have been followers of Jesus. For she believed deeply, deeply in the gospel Jesus of Nazareth preached and taught. She embraced and celebrated and practiced what this gospel, this good news, was intended to reveal to the world, That is what the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the reign of God looks like, and what God's intentions are for the whole world. A realm centered around the practice of love, where the least and the last and the lost and the lonely have pride of place, and where strangers are loved and welcomed and not feared. Where peace and justice are the bedrock values upon which everything else rests, a community in which all of God's children are loved and welcomed and treasured, whether they're born in China or Iran or Borneo or North Carolina, whether they are black or brown or white or gay or straight, brilliant as a star or ordinary as a rose, which finally is why I also believe it's so very fitting that we gather for this celebration here in this sanctuary, adorned with the white of this season, for the gay that was born and lived in this era, the gay all of us knew and loved. Well, this gay was surely one of God's Easter people. And like another one of God's Easter people, one of her personal heroes, Gay Fox, shared with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. the belief that love is stronger than hate. Indeed, that love is ultimately the only thing that can defeat hate. And that justice will someday roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Because in the end, God, not death, has the final say in life. So, in praise of this same God and in gratitude and thanksgiving for a life well lived, a life lived in service and in faithfulness, let me invite you all of us Easter people, to stand and sing together the Gloria as it is printed in your bulletin. Please join me in the peace prayer as it is printed in your bulletin. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. our benediction, I'm going to invite you to remain seated for the postlude as Steve Williams plays for us a beautiful, powerful, celebratory piece to commemorate this day and this life. Following that, I'm going to invite you to remain seated for just a few more minutes, as I will then offer some words of reflection and instruction prior to the release of the doves. And so now, friends, hear these words of commendation. Into your hands, O merciful God, we commend your servant, Gay Curry Fox. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a daughter of your own family. Receive Gay into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. And now may the grace and the peace of the risen Christ be with you, and the presence of the living God surround you, the peace, comfort, and joy of the Holy Spirit fill you this night and always. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
So in just a few moments, Stanley and his team will help usher the come and help usher the family out. And then after that, we invite you to proceed out and gather, if you are willing and able, gather in the area in front of the chapel, where we will release four doves. As you know, doves are a symbol, kind of a universal symbol of peace, of God's shalom. We will first release three doves to symbol and signify the triune God, creator, redeemer, sustainer. And then after a few moments, we will release one more dove to symbolize and signify Gay's journey to join the divine.